Hey, good morning, church. Okay, so for the last 4 weeks, we've been studying the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been talking about the parables of the kingdom that we find in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like weeds growing among the wheat to explain why there is evil in the world when the kingdom of God is happening right here, right now. And then Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a great treasure or a great pearl to say, this kingdom is better than anything you have. And then Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a bunch of farm workers, right? And some work all day and some just work a few hours because in the kingdom of God, mercy is the most important thing. And then last Sunday, the third Sunday was tough. Fourth Sunday was even tougher. Separation of the sheep and the goats. Because Jesus wanted us to know that his flock of sheep, we're supposed to act like we're living in the kingdom of God right now. And that means taking care of the hungry and the thirsty and the needy and the injured and everybody. That's the kingdom of God. All these parables bear witness to this fact that the kingdom of God is among us right now. Yeah, we're going to heaven one day, but the kingdom of heaven begins 2,000 years ago. We live in the kingdom now. Now, new month, new series, but we're not leaving the Gospel of Matthew, and we are not leaving the kingdom of God. We're not going to talk about parables anymore, but we're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus that bear witness that the kingdom of God is among us right now. Today, we're going to talk about the time that Jesus healed two blind men and a deaf, mute man. And then next week, we are going to talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about Jesus walking on the water. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where it became totally clear to his disciples that this is not just another man. This is the Son of God. These miracles of Jesus, they bear witness to the thing that Jesus talked about the most, the kingdom of heaven is among us. Amen? I'll take that. Amen. Bring it. Come on. Help me out. I'll take the help. Help me out. Your help. I'll take it. Okay, so long ago, long before Jesus, there's a guy. His name was Isaiah, and he was a prophet. And the prophet Isaiah, he said this about the coming kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He said this: in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll. That's the Bible, by the way. And out of the gloom and the darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. When the kingdom of God comes, the blind shall see and the deaf shall hear. And Isaiah says it again a little bit later. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. As we open up Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 33. Today, we hear in the Gospel of Matthew that the kingdom of God is among us because the blind can see and the deaf can hear. Am I saying that loud enough for those of you that are a little deaf yourself? And the deaf can hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This bears witness that the kingdom of God is among us right now. Let's get to the Bible, shall we? Matthew 9, verses 27 through 33, to hear this good news that opens our eyes and unplugs our ears. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When they had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and they spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." God's word. Okay, folks, now, if you've heard me preach more than a couple of times, you probably already know that one of my favorite writers is a guy named C.S. Lewis. I love C.S. Lewis. He probably shows up in my sermons more than anyone other than Jesus. Jesus wins, but C.S. Lewis, he's right in there too. I love C.S. Lewis because he helped me understand Jesus. When I was in elementary school, the Chronicles of Narnia, they got me excited about reading. And when I was in high school, I found this book called Mere Christianity, and it taught me to think seriously about my Christian faith. And then in 1992, when I was in college, I found this book by C.S. Lewis called Miracles. And it was a miracle to me because this book helped me understand that it's completely reasonable, that it is completely rational, that Jesus healed the blind, and that Jesus healed the deaf. I keep on returning to C.S. Lewis because he's like this old, old friend that still has so much to teach me. Now, in his book, Miracles, C.S. Lewis suggested that there are two ways of looking at the world. Some people believe that nothing exists except for nature. Lewis called these people naturalists. Naturally, right? And they leave no room for God. They leave no room for the miraculously. And in the book, Lewis, I think, persuasively argues that they leave no room for human freedom. If you start with the naturalist assumption that miracles are impossible, then there's no amount of evidence in history or in the Bible that will ever convince you that miracles are possible, okay? The other way of looking at the world is that others think that besides nature, there exists something else. And C.S. Lewis calls these people supernaturalists, which is kind of a weird word, but Lewis is not talking about ghosts, and Lewis is not talking about magic, and he's not talking about unicorns. That might be a disappointment to some of you, but that's not what he's talking about. C.S. Lewis is talking about a God outside of nature who created the universe and all that is in it, and he created all the rules of the universe, and this same God still gets involved in his creation. He still tinkers with creation. He still gets to work in creation. If you start with the supernaturalist assumption that miracles are possible, then when you read the Bible about blind people seeing and deaf people hearing and dead people coming back from the grave, you get excited because it fills your soul. It makes you go, aha, there is something to this stuff. Now, they say that seeing is believing, but that's not really true, is it? If you ask any doctor or any nurse or anyone who's ever spent time around the terminally ill or anyone who's ever spent time in the cancer ward, they can tell you stories, right, about patients that were supposed to die and somehow they got better for no reason that the doctor can come up with, that the nurse can come up with, that the technician can come up with. They all have a story like that. If the doctor or the nurse or the technician is a naturalist, they will say something like, well, medicine, it's an imperfect science. Or they'll say, sometimes people just get better on their own. But if that doctor or that nurse or that technician, they're supernaturalist, they're going to say, thank God. They're going to say, hallelujah. God did something here that we can't quite explain. Two medical professionals can look at the exact same evidence and come up with very different interpretations of what's going on. So I think what we need to do is we need to turn the old expression on its head. It is not seeing is believing. In truth, it is believing is seeing. How are your eyes? How are you doing on the eye chart? Did you get that? Believing is seeing. Now, if you don't believe, once you've got eyes to see, you can actually see what's in front of your face. If you do believe in miracles, you will be quick to praise God when the blind can see. And if you don't believe in miracles, there is no way that you're going to be convinced, even if the blind start to see right in front of you. We all tend to interpret the data that presents itself before us to support our underlying assumptions. There's a fancy word for this. They call it confirmation bias, okay? That we want the data to fit what we already believe so much that we make the data fit. Scientists have confirmation bias. Pastors have confirmation bias. Confirmation students have confirmation bias for sure, and auto mechanics have confirmation bias. We've seen this stuff before. We have conclusions that are already in our head. We want the data to fit what we already believe. We all do this. It's not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. Now, C.S. Lewis helped me understand that while I had a supernatural faith, that God created the world, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save the world from our sins, I had a supernatural faith, but I also had some naturalist assumptions. I believed that Jesus could do the miraculous, but I struggled to understand how it was that Jesus was healing the blind, how it was that Jesus was making the deaf hear. How did he walk on water? I still don't get that one. I gotta tell you, that's really confusing. But Lewis taught me that miracles are not illogical. You'll hear that sometimes. Miracles are not irrational. You'll hear that sometimes. What they are is they are supernatural. Once you accept that it is God who created the world, that it is God who created the rules of the universe, then it's not such a leap to think, why wouldn't his son heal the sick? Why wouldn't his son feed the hungry? Why wouldn't his son reveal himself on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah right there? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Believing is seeing. Consider the two blind men in today's story. In the first century Judea, the blind were outcasts and they were beggars. It was the common assumption of that time and that place that if you were blind, that you were cursed by God from some hidden sin. That's really bad theology. In fact, Jesus absolutely contradicts that thinking in John chapter 9, verse 2, where he says about another blind guy, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. God didn't make that man blind, but God did send his son Jesus Christ so that man could see. Now, the blind man in today's story, they are likely to know the prophecy of Isaiah. If you are blind and you've heard a story that one day when the kingdom of God comes, that the blind are going to have their eyes opened, you're going to pay attention to that. And you're going to keep your ears opening to that possibility. These guys were in Capernaum. That was Jesus' hometown when he preached in Galilee. Oh, and they started hearing rumors. They heard about Jesus healing the paralyzed man. What's that? They heard rumors about Jesus healing a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. What's that? They heard rumors about the synagogue leader's daughter, that Jesus rose from the dead. What's that? Now, back in those days, everyone was a supernaturalist, okay? Everyone believed that miracles were possible. But what they heard made them go, boy, can I get some of that? Can I get some of that supernatural love from God? Can I experience a miracle too? And so they went around town, small town of Capernaum, shouting out, have mercy on us, Son of David. What does that mean? Son of David. It's another way of saying Messiah. It's another way of saying this is the king who is going to rule forever. It's another way of saying that the kingdom of God is among us right now. They may have been blind, but these two guys, they saw clearer than Peter and the disciples who were hanging out with Jesus all the time, that Jesus was the long-awaited king of creation who had the power to restore the sight of the blind, who had the power to give hearing to the deaf. Now, Jesus, he brought the blind men inside. They're probably going into Peter's house. They're getting out of eyeshot. They're getting out of earshot. They're going somewhere private, because once people find out that Jesus is healing blind people, everyone is going to connect the dots to the prophet Isaiah and figure out who Jesus is. Once they were inside the house where no one else could see them, where no one else could hear them, Jesus said, do you believe that I am able to do this? They had to believe in order to see. This is the first and only time in the Gospel of Matthew where healing demands faith in advance. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful about interpreting today's story. Now, some Christians, they leap to the conclusion that healing depends on the quality or the quantity of our faith. But that's another variation on the blame the victim theology that Jesus expressly rejects in John 9:2. Besides, at the end of the story, please note that Jesus is healing a deaf and mute man who makes no confession of faith, right? It's the same story. Something else is happening in this story. The blind men, they came to Jesus because they were looking for healing, and what Jesus is trying to do is to push them towards discipleship. He doesn't just want to show evidence of the kingdom of God by healing these guys. He wants to bring them into the kingdom of God, where they will be citizens of the kingdom of God, right here, right now, and for all eternity. Now, Jesus, he touches the eyes of the blind men. This is just as icky as touching a leper, right? In the ancient world, if you were blind, it was usually because of unsanitary conditions and other things. People who were blind, it was icky. It was gross. It was contagious. And Jesus takes his fingers and then puts it right on their eyes. I'm not actually going to do it, but I'm going to get close. Because it's, I know, but it's gross. It's gross, and it's not what you would expect. And it's not what people would necessarily want. But Jesus puts his finger right on the point of their shame. And instantly, they could see. There is no naturalist explanation for this story. the Gospel of Matthew is saying, come on, open your eyes, people. Open your ears, people. There are things in this world you just can't explain with natural assumptions. So Jesus sternly warned these men, see that no one knows about this. Now, Jesus, he often tells people to keep quiet when he heals them. Why? Some people say that Jesus just wants some peace and quiet in his hometown of Capernaum. Maybe. People sometimes say that Jesus is trying to delay the inevitable. He's trying to delay his journey to the cross where he's going to have to die. Maybe. My best interpretation today in this scripture is this, that Jesus was struggling to redefine what it meant to be the Messiah, the King of creation. Once people got the idea that Jesus had all this divine power, they had certain assumptions that they wanted out of their Messiah. They wanted a military Messiah who, with the sword, was going to drive the Romans out of Judea. But Jesus defines himself as the kind of Messiah who pokes you in the eye so that you can see, who sticks his fingers in your ears so that you can hear. That's the kind of Messiah that Jesus is trying to define himself to be. And that's not hard, or that's not easy to convince people of when they have all this hopeful expectation of Romans getting kicked out of town. Now, C.S. Lewis, he explains that these miracles demonstrate that Jesus is not just another wise teacher, he's not just another moral philosopher, but that the Son of God is here to save the world. Lewis writes this, miracles are what might be expected to happen when the world is invaded. I like that. The world is invaded, not simply by a God, but by the God of nature, by a power which is outside the world's jurisdiction, not as a foreigner, but as a sovereign. They proclaim that he who has come is not merely a king, but the king, the world's king, and ours. What C.S. Lewis is saying here is that the miracles of Jesus demonstrate that the kingdom of God is already among us right now. And it is for eternity. But the kingdom of God is among us right now. But you have to believe it in order to see it. We may never see a miracle like a blind man getting his vision back, and we may never see or hear about a deaf woman getting her hearing back, but God is doing the miraculous in this world right now. That kind of miracle that Jesus was doing every other day in Capernaum, that may not be our personal experience because the physical Jesus is not right here with us right now. But that doesn't mean that there aren't miracles happening all the time. Even the Pharisees were forced to admit that Jesus had supernatural power, but they blamed the devil instead of giving credit to God, okay? Everyone accepted something supernatural was happening when Jesus was putting his finger in people's eyes and putting his finger in people's ears. There is no natural explanation. Jesus is the king over nature, not another slave under nature. Now, we live in a naturalist age. The confirmation bias of this world is that there is no supernatural, there is only superstition. So we need our own miracle to see Jesus as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we need our own miracle to hear that God is working in the world right now. We are just like those blind men who are searching in the darkness looking to find Jesus. We are just like that deaf man who can't hear that the kingdom has come among us. We are just like that mute man. We keep silent because we're nervous to talk about the supernatural with people that only believe in the natural. We need our own healing, lest we always be blind, lest we always be deaf, lest we always be mute. Do you believe in miracles? not just a rhetorical question. Do you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. God had to do a little extra work on me to get me there. Needed to bring C.S. Lewis into my life to help me understand it in a reasonable, rational way. Maybe you need something like that too, I don't know. But miracles are real. I tell you, there is no gospel without the miraculous. God is still doing wonderful things in the world today, but you have to believe them in order to see them. You have to believe them in order to hear them. You have to believe them before you can speak them out loud. Pray with me, please. Lord of all creation, maker of heaven and earth, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to save me, not just from my sins, but from where I am deaf and where I am mute and where I cannot hear. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to change me and to heal me and to transform who I am. I pray, Lord God, open my eyes so I can see your miracle. Open my ears so I can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Open my mouth so I can proclaim that the kingdom of God is among us. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.